time in the last six seasons, the Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it! Terrific header, Callum Robinson, super ball in.
Great feeling, we have to treasure these nights.
Well, hello there. This is the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. I'm Adrian Eames. James O'Toole from Soccer Republic is on the line. James, I left the podcast a couple of weeks ago. I said, safe pair of hands. When I come back, it'll all be done and dusted, all sorted. But I leave you alone for a You're like the kid who won't clean his room. I come back and it's still a mess. What's going on with the league?
Your guess is as good as mine at the moment, Adrian. I think it's a case of football clubs not wanting to play football. I think we may as well just turn them into restaurants or something like that. They've got plenty of outdoor space so we can put a couple of tables on pitches.
Yeah, but they do want to play football. It's the circumstances. I tell you what, let's get on to that because we're joined by Tony O'Donoghue, RTÉ soccer correspondent, a man all too familiar with the machinations of football on this cherished island. Conan Byrne of Glenavon is also with us. And I'm delighted to say that Ollie Horgan, the Finn Harps manager, is also part of the RTÉ Soccer podcast today. Finn Harps doing great work in their fundraising at the moment to get Finn Park ready for football in a new environment around health and safety. More on that anon. But it's Monday afternoon as we chat. And Tony, in your view, where are we at now? Because there are so many proposals out there in terms of a format. Basically, the sticking point at the moment, the financials appear to be okay. Clubs will have misgivings, of course, around the financial scenario, of course. But at the moment, it's about the structure and it's about the format and a particular promotion from the first relegation from the Premier. How do you see it and where are we at?
Well, I think to be a bit more positive, I think we're at the league will resume on the 31st of July, which is about 5 weeks away. I think most clubs have bought into that now and are happy. We've got most clubs, nearly all clubs, back training. Obviously, we had the four clubs involved in Europe were allowed special dispensation to come back early, if you like. But the rest of the clubs are now back on the grass or on the Astro or wherever they might be, with the possible exception still of Waterford. I know there were issues there. And I think there's a readiness, there's an eagerness, there's an ambition to get back. The financials have been more or less squared away. That was an issue because obviously, at least for the beginning, the games will have to be behind closed doors. So there's wage costs, but there's also the other costs involved in opening venues, the extra costs of cleaning them because of the COVID-19 restrictions and all the implications of that. And so the clubs were hoping to get some help, and they did get some help and a guarantee from the parent body, the national governing body, the Football Association of Ireland, who guaranteed them certain monies to help tie them over in this pandemic. I think they were comforted by the fact as well that in the last week that FIFA have announced a COVID-19 relief scheme as well. $1.5 billion each association guaranteed, $1 million and interest-free loans, etc. And so we're nearly there, but any clubs deciding not to finish the 2020 season, the FAI have said this week, late on Thursday night, will have their points zeroized and will be relegated. So really, it's time for clubs to get it together now. And the stumbling block continues to be the format in terms of relegation, because we're shortening the season to just one round, 18 games. And in most cases, four or five matches have been played. We're talking about, in the case of the clubs, the likes of, let's say, Sligo Rovers or Cork City, who are at the wrong end of the Premier Division table, they've got 13 games to salvage their season. So is that enough? Is that fair on them to you know, come around? The likes of Waterford then, who've lost their manager, a number of players, I understand, who were on loan deals, won't be coming back. You know, it's difficult for clubs, and I suppose they're all jockeying for position. But if the 19 clubs can't reach agreement, the board of the FAI and the NLEC, which is the National League Executive Committee, they said that they're going to make the final call in the best interest of Irish football. So we thought that was last Thursday's scheduled meeting between the FAI and the clubs, that we'd know by Friday. All of these machinations have gone on over the weekend, gone back to clubs. Thought we might have it by today, but I think ultimately we won't know about this again until the next Thursday's meeting of the clubs and the FAI, because as I say, nearly all things are in place now, but the promotion relegation issue, and understandably from clubs, if your future status as a club and as a business is relying on this, you're obviously going to fight tooth and nail to get the best deal you feel for your club.
Okay, just to go through some of the plans that have been mooted. One of them would see the league, as Tony mentioned there, reduced to 18 games for each club in total in the Premier Division. So that would leave many clubs with either 13 or 14 games left for this season, with the first division champions promoted, and the bottom two in the Premier and the second and third teams in the first would meet in playoffs, with one team ultimately losing out. So we would then end up with a 12-team Premier Division in 2021. Another plan that was suggested in some quarters, maybe just starting afresh, an 18-game season and all teams start from 0 points. It may be one that might be favoured by Dundalk, not so much perhaps by Shamrock Rovers, but that's out there as well. And the other plan which emerged over the last few days is one which, according to the Irish Independent, is favoured by 9 of the 10 Premier Division teams. And that's a straightforward one team promoted from the First Division, one relegated from the Premier Division. And according to the Independent, Shamrock Rovers, apparently the one club holding a different view on that. As I mentioned, Ollie Horgan is with us as well. Ollie, we'll come on to the fundraising efforts that are going so well for Finn Harps at the moment. What are your thoughts on the best format and the best way forward? What would you favour?
Look, I mean, it depends where you're at. It depends what division you're in. You know, Finn Harps are, by the skin of their teeth, still in the Premier Division. The way we look at it, you know, we've got to look at it as every club is looking at it from their own perspective. You know, I referred to an interview Keith Long did where he talked about, like, the football family. You know, there's no point in pretending that I'm not wearing a Finn Harps cap when I'm talking here, you know. We want to be in the Premier Division come the 2021 season. I think as regards the general view of it is it's half a season for the Premier Division clubs. And to us, it should be half the punishment. You know, we'd love and say to you, would we get away with no relegation? We know that that's not acceptable. We fully understand that. You know, our point from our board and where we're at in the football end of it, half a season, you get half the punishment, which means, you know, one up, one down, without a playoff in that case. That if you finish bottom, which could easily be us, that we go down. Your other proposals there that you muted as regards increasing the teams from 10 to 12, we'd have loved that in when we were in the First Division, and I fully see where they're coming from. If we were down there, we'd be fighting that case as well. But it probably means that you have a possibility of 3 out of 9 teams that can get promoted in the First Division, possibly getting promoted, which maybe, you know, would be a huge percentage of teams going up. But to be fair to them, you know, if we were down there, I'd probably be telling you that's the answer. It depends on where you're at, Adrian, in which division. For us, I think the fairest way we look at it is half a season, half the punishment, and if you finish bottom, you go down. And it may be us, it may not.
That's Ollie with his usual forthright honesty, which is as I'd expect of him. But that means that 19 clubs are going to be saying exactly the same, and that's where, like, self-interest will always win out. At this stage, and it has dragged on, surely you need someone to say, OK, guys, you can't... It's like kids. You can't make your own mind up, so we're going to have to decide, you know, what we're having for dinner or what we're going to watch on TV tonight.
Conan Byrne of Glenavon. We'll come on to Glenavon and the Irish Premiership up north being curtailed and the season effectively abandoned, with Linfield being declared champions very shortly. But Conan, as a veteran, dare I say it, of the League of Ireland scene, what are your thoughts on all of this? Ollie is talking about one team promoted from the First Division, one relegated, only half a season involved for the Premier Division clubs. First Division sides obviously won't be happy with that particular scenario, so we'll have to see how it plays out. But I guess from the perspective of League of Ireland fans, Tony referenced there a few moments ago that it could be Thursday before we get a definitive outcome on all of this, and who knows. But League of Ireland fans at this stage just want to have something to... I mean, we're talking about July 31st, but surely a format has to be signed, sealed and delivered upon now.
Oh, of course it does. We've been waiting too long for it at this stage, and I do think that the First Division is a big issue. A couple of the things the clubs are saying, they don't want back pay on the unpaid wages. Going into this four-week pre-season, the clubs don't want to pay the players through that. And then also a cut in the wages from the season resuming to the end of it as well. So obviously the players aren't happy and they want to go back training, but obviously and they want payment for it, which is important. I know relegation as well has been talked about a lot, and no relegation from the top flight but that obviously could result in negative publicity from the league. And obviously, we got that over the weekend with Eamon Sweeney's piece. But there's nothing to play for if there's no relegation, and that can result, unfortunately, in some match fixing. Some clubs might play their under 19 players then to avoid paying appearance fees. So, just in overall, for the integrity of the game is at stake. So, I think that's important that there should be relegation. And Ollie Horgan mentioned there about one up and one down. That it could work. I played in the first division for a long time, 3 or 4 seasons, and it is a very difficult league to get out of. So that playoff system, I think, is important for the first division teams. And I mooted the possibility on Twitter there, the possibility of a 12-team Premier Division. And again, that was talked about. But look, with all of these problems, with all of these scenarios, Adrian, there's going to be problems with them all. 3 teams would end up being relegated in 2021, and clubs' budgets may not be unsustainable to try and avoid that drop, if you know what I mean. So the likes of Gary Kelleher and St. Pat's, they voiced their opinion clearly that they don't want a 12-team Premier Division, because back in 2017, when I was a player for them, we avoided relegation the last day up in McGinn Park. So 3 teams could, with the possibility of going down in 2021, isn't what a lot of clubs in the Premier Division would like. So it was no surprise to hear his concern over the matter, but I do think it would need to be monitored if it was a 12-team Premier Division. Just in case teams do go over the top on their budgets, try to avoid the drop. But a playoff system could work in that situation. The ideal scenario, I think, and we've all talked about already, is what it kind of is at the moment. Like, champions go up, relegated team goes down, and then a playoff involving the second and third of the first division and second last in the Premier Division. As I said, similar to what has been currently, and what Ollie Horgan managed to avoid the going down last year when he defeated Drogheda. So I think that's probably the ideal scenario. Again, I know Stephen Finn, he put up a tweet as well of one league of 19 teams, and wherever you end up after the 18th fixtures determine what division you will be. I'm not a fan of this at all. The gap between some teams is absolutely colossal, and we just don't want to see cricket scores at League of Ireland games. Well, I don't anyway. But I think the ideal scenario is kind of what it is, what it has been over the last couple of years.
Yeah, Conal, you've kind of made that as clear as mud there, Conal. I think the thing about this is, as well, we're talking about when we need to get this back up and running, when a plan back and running. It affects clubs all over the place, likes of Finn Harps, likes of Waterford, who have players who need to return from overseas. And when do they return? Because at the moment, they're going to have 2 weeks of lockdown because of this current situation we're in. So this kind of thing, Tony, you might probably know more about this. On Thursday, I think that's probably the latest we can have a decision on this end of July start, because players won't be back and fit enough to start the league.
Yeah, I was on air with Pat Fenland on Saturday Sports there last week, and asked him, with his experience, you know, how long ideally would you need to be training? And I'm sure Ollie Horgan would have a view on this, but he felt you need to be 6 weeks, and we're already less than that now for a 31st of July start. We're talking 5 weeks, and the longer, if you are waiting to bring players back, the longer that they have to self-isolate when they come back, that really adds an extra to it. But interesting what Conan was saying there. I mean, the financials that are on offer, yeah, that was part of the deal that was more or less ironed out. But the likes of Finn Harps, I'm not sure if Ollie will be able to confirm this or not, but because they're a Premier Division club, would have a significantly more money to aid them at this time than a First Division club. So even though I'd imagine that the wages between some Premier Division clubs and some First Division clubs aren't hugely different, there is a greater financial incentive for the Premier Division clubs, and a greater likelihood that they will negotiate if they were to have playoffs with the second and third in the First Division, as opposed to just one up and one down.
Ollie, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sorry. I just listened to the last little bit of what Tony said there. Basically, you know, the 2 points of what Tony's saying is that substantially that the Premier Division clubs were given, if you like, a package that they go away, you know, even with our relatively, you know, mediocre budget, it still is a budget, and it still adds up where there will be a shortfall, even with us. Don't mind the shortfall with teams that have bigger budgets than us, where,
you know, we're banking on basically hoping that we can get some sort of crowds in before the season, you know, finishes, and be able to generate an income there to see out the season and try and honour contracts that way. So it's not just, you know, straightforward for the Premier Division clubs either in the manner of what Tony said. But, you know, I'm listening to Conan as regards, you know, I think what his interpretation is, you leave it as the status quo, that one up, one down, one in the playoff as it was last year. Yeah, I'm sure that has been muted as well, but the fact of it being half a season is probably, you know, my only little reservation on that. But I think the sooner we get playing, whatever way it's going to be, and move on with it and start talking about football and games, and players, as opposed to maybe, you know, the little, you know, the up and down promotion side, I think the better, lads.
Conan, how would you respond to that, Ollie's argument that it is half a season, 18 games? That's not what clubs signed up to in terms of the participation agreement. So that the playing rules, the ground rules have changed. And he has a point.
Oh, he does, absolutely. I'm just saying that would be the ideal scenario, I think, for the majority of the FAI and the majority of the clubs, just to keep it the way it is. Like, I put up a tweet the other day, mooting a 12-team Premier Division next season. That would be my favourite option. I know it does kind of put a dent on the three teams going down next season, but it doesn't have to be the three teams going down. There could be a playoff system in place similar to the Danish model, and that could work out better. Because it is very unfair, half a season and you could go back down to the first division. I do think that's very unfair. So to have something like to try and kind of soften the blow, have one season of 12 teams and then revert back to a 10 team division in 2022. I think in the interest of fairness, that would probably be my preferred option. But again, who am I to know?
Tony, ultimately though, be it Thursday or whenever, somebody's got to make a call on this sooner or later.
Well, it has to be this week, you'd imagine, and I'm sure we're close. As I say, at least the financial support of all clubs has been agreed. The date has been agreed. So we're nearly there. And the talk of formats is very interesting. I think the people involved with the All-Ireland League got us kind of interested in that as well. Hypercube, we're looking at various models and how it's done in different territories. And that's all great. I mean, I do think there was a suggestion in 2021 that the Premier Division might split after three rounds and a top six, bottom six. All of these things means that the end of the season becomes more meaningful, that the games mean more, because sometimes there can be games that are pointless, you know, we've all been at those as well. But I do think we need to remember this is an exceptional time, first of all, for the FAI because of where we've been, and we all know that, and it's astonishing really still. But I mean, we're in a massive crisis as regards that. But then, I mean, COVID-19 has just changed everything. And I think for us to be talking about, you know, Jesuitical pursuits, you know, how many angels on the head of a needle, when we just need to get back and playing. And I think the simplest way to do that, and the most economically viable way of doing that, if you're to extend into playoffs, a huge amount of playoffs, that means probably a longer season. It means extending contracts. When you look at other leagues that have just, you know, packed up, maybe they were too hasty in packing up. And as Ollie said, it would be great if we can get crowds back into the stadia before the end of our season. But we don't know that yet because, you know, heaven forbid, a second wave. That'll be up to the HSE and the government guidelines as much as it will be up to football. What about the FAI Cup? I would hate to see the FAI Cup not played this year. And there's plans for that to be played this year, of course. But, you know, all the available dates, and you've got to take into account our European dates. You've got to take into account the fact that a number of our players now in the league are international players, be it at under 21 or even at full international level. And those international dates and the Champions League dates have to be fitted into the calendar. Before you know it, there'll be no dates left. And if you're talking about, you know, the first division, last two in the Premier, the second and third in the first division, and how those games get played, although they may only be one-off at neutral venues, they're still taking up time. They're going to extend the season. I think we keep it simple at this point and we go, yes, there should be promotion and yes, there should be relegation. One up, one down, let's get playing.
Okay, you're going for that option. James, one up, one down. Obviously, Ollie has already outlined his view. He's in favour of one up, one down. Conan is going with the status quo, if you will, perhaps with a minor tweak. What do you reckon? What would you go for?
I don't know. I think there has to be relegation. I prefer the fact that we have playoffs because it gives the first division something to play for if there are playoffs, despite how many games there are, 18 games or not. I don't know where I stand at the moment. I think that if anybody at this stage just point blankly refuses to play football, we move on without them, full stop. That's the way I feel about that. But I think I would prefer to see the playoff version where clubs in the first division just aren't forgotten about and they have something to play for.
So playoffs instead of the FAI Cup?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting rid of the FAI Cup, to tell you the truth. I think the way they pack the FAI Cup now from August to the end, I'm not 100. I think we need to look at what we need finished first and what we need finished properly first. And the league is first and foremost in my mind. We have to get it out of the way. We have to play it out. And if it means we get an extra couple of weeks for league action instead of an FAI Cup for 1 year, so be it.
Okay, well, I would take an opposing view on that. I think you have to keep the FAI Cup at all costs. I'd go with the one up, one down option if that was the scenario presented. Anyway, we'll move on. Ollie, have you got all your players back? Any issues there in terms of, you know, the squad coming back for training?
Yeah, well, I mean, you addressed some of it earlier on. As such, we've really only tried to assemble the local lads and the lads within the country at the latter end of last week. We have got a few of the lads from overseas in who basically can't join us, you know, until next week. But, you know, we're still trying to get, you know, one or two lads that are on loan to see can we extend that loan. So it's very much all over the place, and there's no point Adrian in pretending anything different. But like, we really only got the go-ahead, you know, last Thursday week, if you like, and we've tried to get up and running, you know, as quickly as we can, and that itself will take time, and we certainly aren't up and running properly yet.
And in terms of funding, the GoFundMe page, Finn Park being upgraded to deal with all the challenges given, you know, the coronavirus and obviously limited attendances. What are the challenges for the committee there at Finn Harps in terms of making sure the ground is up to standard to deal with the new world order of things?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, even before the virus hit, you know, we needed changing rooms to start with. You know, we needed to upgrade our facility. You know, we were waiting on, and we're still waiting on our new, what we hope to be, you know, our new stadium, to put it that way, Pierre. But, you know, we're hoping with the new minister that maybe, you know, Catherine Martin, that she might send her a season ticket and come up and have a look at the place up there, you know. But going back to our own facility, it was probably Ivan Harvey, who's a new member of the board, his brainchild of basically launching a GoFundMe page to try and get a second changing room on the far side of the pitch that would allow for social distancing. It would allow us to get football back in Finn Park, which basically was key to whether we could financially survive, certainly with the initial package that was offered. To be fair to Gary Owens and Niall Quinn, you know, they redesigned it, and the following week, 6 days later, it was a more substantial package that we've addressed earlier on. But Ivan has put up on basically on the website, the GoFundMe page, that we're trying to reach €30,000 to build this. Basically, it's a portable changing room with showers, with a medical room, a little mini kitchen that should we get the go-ahead to go to our new stadium, that it's portable and we can take it with us. So we're not putting dead money into a place that it'll, you know, if we've got to stay there, yeah, we've got to stay there. If we've got to move, we can take it with us. So it's gone great, and it just shows, you know, up there the goodwill and nature to try and get football back. And please God, we'll have it back at the end of July or start of August, whenever our first home game is.
Yeah, and 30,000 is the target. You're well on your way. More than half of that amount has already been raised. The link to the GoFundMe page is available on www.finharps.ie, or you can also just go to the GoFundMe page and key in Finn Harps and you'll get there. Ollie, listen, many thanks for joining us on the RTÉ Soccer podcast.
You're welcome.
Tony, before we let you go, just a word on the international picture, because obviously we had confirmation last week of Ireland's international programme. Of course, the big one in the offing in October is Slovakia. And confirmation, we already knew that Bulgaria in early September would be Stephen Kenny's first game in charge of the Republic of Ireland senior team. But it's a difficult time, isn't it, Tony, for the Irish manager, because he, like traditionally managers, bounce over and back to England and get to see players and get to chat to them. But, it's, you know, for a new manager coming into a big job as senior manager, not to be able to go and physically see players at the moment is very, very difficult.
Well, I hope he's got Sky Sports and BT Sports and Premier Sports and BBC and all the places that the Irish players are popping up now, day after day. And keeping an eye, obviously, the likes of Sheffield United, David McGoldrick scoring yesterday will be good news for him, although they lost the game ultimately. But yeah, it's not the same that he can go see the players, see the full game, see it properly, and maybe physically face-to-face meet the players after the game or whatever, because he needs to build a relationship with some of these players who he has physically never met. I know he's actually texted some of them and phone called them and whatnot, but you know, Stephen Kenny is, you know, very emotionally intelligent as much as anything else. And I think it'd be very important, the sort of connection that he makes with his players on a one-to-one and on a man-to-man basis. And I think he needs to look them in the eye. And by the time they come around for his first game in charge, as usual with the international setup, you know, the first game away, they'll probably only come in the Monday before the Thursday. They'll probably be on a flight either the Tuesday or the Wednesday. He's hardly any time to have any training session to inculcate his methods, his tactics, and for them to understand the man that is Stephen Kenny. I'm sure some of them, the likes of James McLean, will be telling the other players, you know, what sort of a man he is, and you know, his record at club level with Dundalk in Europe in particular is terrific. But you know, it's a huge time for him, you know, a newbie manager, and at least he has those Nation Leagues games before the big one, which, as you say, is the October the 8th, Slovakia against the Republic of Ireland. Wouldn't it be ironic then, wouldn't it be wonderful indeed, if Northern Ireland came through against Bosnia as well, and the former Sligo Rovers manager, Ian Barraclough, just newly appointed as Michael O'Neill's successor to the North of Ireland job, was to host Stephen Kenny and the Republic of Ireland in Windsor Park for a place in the European Championship. Now that would be a story.
It would be a story indeed, Tom. But as you said, like, Stephen really, really relies on that camaraderie between him and the players, and getting to know the player himself face to face. It's like Conan would know this as well, seeing Stephen around change rooms and stuff like that, the way he reacts with players. So I'd say Stephen's really, really fretting on himself at the moment, and very impatient, just waiting to get out the door to go and meet these guys as soon as he can, because you said these matches are coming up, and if we do get that Northern Ireland game in particular, he's going to need a team that's really well knit and fellas he knows and he can trust on.
What do you think there, Conan? It is a very difficult situation for the manager. I'm sure he won't be one for making excuses, but when you don't have that personal touch, if you like, meeting players and chatting to them and getting to know them, and likewise them getting to know you, it presents all kinds of challenges.
Of course it does. And we've heard Dundalk over the years, the importance of that Stephen Kenny, what Stephen Kenny has brought in terms of that level of communication that he has with his players. And I'm sure he'd like that, of course, at international level as well. I think what the senior players in the Ireland setup will be a bit worried, I feel, considering the amount of talent that is currently in the under-21 setup. So I'd like to think that they'd be coming straight in there with all guns blazing to show Stephen that they're still well capable of performing in an Irish jersey. And even for the young ones that I'd like to think that he's going to bring up, that they can show them what it's all about, and it's going to be very competitive. It's going to be a very competitive 11 that he puts out on that pitch, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
And tellingly too, Tony, you mentioned David McGoldrick scoring at the weekend for Sheffield United, but Aaron Connolly at Brighton has been in fine form too, back after his ankle injury, and obviously Stephen is more than familiar with Aaron Connolly, what with the under-21s, but that's encouraging too for Ireland heading into the autumn.
Yeah, well, he was instrumental in setting up a winner for Brighton, coming in off the bench, but he's still an off-the-bench player for the moment, and maybe that's a role that he might be seen in by Stephen. I'd be a bit concerned, I mentioned David McGoldrick, but if you think about Sheffield United and their previous game with John Egan being sent off and Enda Stevens having an absolute howler. You know, you sometimes wonder, the more games they play, will it boost their confidence or could it go the other way? And, you know, we could have players coming into us on a downer because they've had poor results. Sheffield looked like they were on the way to perhaps a European spot even. They had been having such a good season. And now out of the cup and struggling in the league, we'll have to see. They're so important to us. We'll have to see how they are when they turn up for Ireland camp at the very end of August.
Okay, Tony, listen, many thanks for joining us on the podcast. Conan, the Irish League, or the Irish Premiership as it is now, your team, Glenavon, finishing seventh. I know from you know, doing a little bit of reading over the course of the last week or so. A lot of disquiet amongst the clubs at the way the whole thing was handled. The season has all been wrapped up. Linfield crowned champions for the third time in four seasons. In fact, a third under manager David Healy. Institute relegated. It was all done after a mathematical formula was used to finalise matters. But what are your thoughts on the way it was all handled?
Yeah, I wasn't obviously a big fan of it. See, it's kind of different in the Northern Ireland League. We had only two games remaining before the break in the top section and the bottom section. So I still think Institute are right to appeal. They've appealed the decision of being relegated. They announced that they put out a statement today. And I completely concur with that because they could have easily gone for a 14. They could have left it alone. There's no reason why they could have just left it alone and promoted the two teams from the Championship. Portadown have obviously got promoted. But they could have brought another team up with them. And then, similar enough to what I'm suggesting down here, they could have used the Danish model for the next couple of seasons and see how it goes. Like, the Danish Superliga is made up of 14 teams, and every season between one and three teams suffer relegation. It's not in case that the bottom three automatically go down, because there's a big playoff system incurs, and it's a bit of a tongue twister to get your head around it, but each team plays each other home and away, resulting in 26 matches, and then the league gets split into a top six section and a bottom eight section. So as you can imagine, the top section play each other home and away, and then the top side become champions, but the bottom section is a bit convoluted structure. It sees eight sides split into two groups, so four team mini tournament, and they play each other home and away, and that results in a 32 campaign before a playoffs. And as you can imagine, then playoffs are the fun part of the season, and that's why we talk about them so often in terms of the first division and how exciting they are. I commentated for extratime.ie during the playoffs this season, and the excitement and is just incredible. So the bottom two teams in each group will play a mini tournament along with the second and third place teams in the Championship to decide a promotion and relegation. And it has worked really, really well in the Danish Superliga since 2016, 2017 when it started. And I can't see why the Northern Ireland Football League, it couldn't work similar up there. I feel Sean Connor and Institute's pain and all this. I'd be absolutely going mad if it was my team that were bottom and were put down, because at the end of the day they weren't a foot at the bottom of the division. They were very close to the teams around them, and it was just a pity that this mathematical formula has put them down. And as Sean Connor said, he said he wanted it to, if he felt that his performances on the pitch put them into a relegation, that's fair enough, but at least let them finish out the season and see where they would have ended up, because they had a lot of home games coming up that they didn't play. And it was just very disappointing. So I know a lot of the clubs are in support of Institute, and they're in favour. A lot of the clubs are in favour of this 14-team division.
Easy knowing you're a school teacher, Conan, because you explained that very well. the twos and fros at the foot of the table. I'm still trying to get my head around it. James, what do you think? Linfield champions of the Irish Premiership and Institute making the drop, but as Conan said, they're going to appeal and they've got a strong case.
I think they have a strong case, and it's easy, as you say, Conan, describing that to us. It's easy knowing he's had a lot of time off over the last little while to put that down in paper. But I think it's unfair. I think if you get relegated on the pitch, everybody would accept you weren't good enough, basically. But to be relegated down to what is ultimately the Duckworth-Lewis method is a little bit unfair on the club. As I said, they have a fair few, I think they did a run of two or three home games coming up now as well that would have been next. So it is quite unfair on them. It's unfair on small clubs. It usually seems to be the small club that's gone through... It's gone through pain over the last couple of years with the Riverside Stadium going into disrepair due to flooding, and just everything that's happened to Institute over the last little while to get up and then go down like that is desperate for them.
And Conan, what's your situation now? Because obviously the season is over. You finished it out with Glenavon. Is that it for you, or could you be wooed back to the League of Ireland?
I have another year left in my contract with Glenavon, Adrian.
Ah,
so,
good lad.
So I'll be there for another year. Just waiting on the return to training. When that will be, I do not know. And looking forward to get back into it.
Yeah, how have you enjoyed playing football in the Irish Premiership with Glenavon?
It's been different, Adrian. I'll give you that. It's been very different. I do think that the standard and the quality in the SSE or Tristity League is better in terms of the ten teams down here. Linfield are very, very strong. They're very, very good. Some very, very good individual players who I think will have big careers across the water. But having said that, I really enjoyed my time. I had a little few niggles starting off, but now coming into a new season, now I'll be fighting fit and raring to go, and hopefully that we can push ourselves on up the table, because Glenavon have a history of getting European spots over the last 8 or 9 years. So to finish seventh this season wasn't to our expectations or to our standards. So we'll be hoping to put that right this season and really looking forward to be a part of it.
Yeah, I can't believe you got another year on your contract. What age are you now? Anyway.
Don't start, Adrian, okay? I was trying to be professional through all this interview, but I'm going to have to stop.
No, I just dragged it back down. As a matter of interest, I presume you have a soft spot for a club in England. Maybe you don't, but if you do, which club is it?
I do have a soft spot for a club in England. It'd be Liverpool, of course. But Liverpool. And funny
so
story.
How have you enjoyed the last few days?
The last few days have been. It's been grand. You know, I wouldn't be one to be doing somersaults off the couch now when they won. But I got emotional actually listening to You Never Walk Alone, which is something that I never thought I'd get when my team won the league. So it was only a case of, yeah, they won the league, it was fine. And then just seeing the emotions of the players and the recap of the history of the club and all, I was just like, do you know what, this is like I was four or five the last time Liverpool won the league in 1990, and it was just, obviously I can't remember that, so this is the first time that I've got to experience Liverpool winning the league. But I'd have to thank Steve Staunton for that, Adrian. Steve Staunton converted me to a Liverpool fan when I was 4 years old. So out in Lusk in County Dublin, he was giving out a trophy presentation. And I was a Spurs man. Well, I was a forced Spurs man by my father. So I changed when Steve Staunton told me to support a good team in Liverpool, and I didn't change back.
I hope you've texted him now to thank him for all the success that has won. Of course, yeah, you had to wait for success all these years. Yeah. Anyway, Mark Langdon is on the line. He always casts his eye over European football. Mark, it's been coming. Look, we knew Liverpool were going to get over the line. Of course, the big concern for Liverpool fans was, would the season resume? It did, and they've gotten over the line, ending that long wait that Conan refers to there, 30 years of waiting for Liverpool fans. It's a tremendous achievement. And Jurgen Klopp, just talk to me about Jurgen Klopp and what has struck you about his management style in terms of his coaching career, starting at Mainz all the way through to Borussia Dortmund and, of course, now with Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, he was an ordinary footballer. I think he'd be the first one to admit that, really, in his time. Playing for Mainz, and even at Mainz it didn't always go well for him. And I remember Hamburg, who are now in the second division, actually turned Jurgen Klopp down because he turned up for a job interview in jeans, and they felt that that wasn't the type of coach that they wanted or needed. You know, they needed a figurehead and somebody in a suit and that kind of thing. But he's very much a, you know, take me or leave me type of character, and I think really he's managed to get the connection between the city, the supporters and the club, and bring it all together at Liverpool, just like he did at Borussia Dortmund. I think there are similarities beyond singing You'll Never Walk Alone between Dortmund and Liverpool, and the way that he has got everybody working together. It's a really difficult task to do that at one club, but he's managed to do it at two. At Dortmund, he slayed a giant in Bayern Munich. They've won 8 Bundesliga titles in a row now, but of course, when he was there, he managed to win a double, was so close to beating them in the Champions League final as well. And then to sort of topple this Manchester City team and to come back from, you know, what was it, 97 points or whatever it was last season, to come back from that disappointment, knowing that they'd probably need to get around about 100 points, you know, to win it. That was the target, and that they've kind of broke City's hearts, really, with just that relentlessness. And like I said, I think it's his connection with the players, with the supporters, the way that he brings everybody together, that is what makes him so special.
And, Mark, the draw for the semi-finals of the FA Cup, it's looking very, very tasty, isn't it? Manchester United against Chelsea, Arsenal take on Manchester City. We could have an all-London final, we could have an all-Manchester final, but in recent seasons, people have largely ignored the FA Cup, but there'll be added intrigue with those semi-final pairings this season.
Yeah, they really will. You know, the Premier League has been won for a very long time, hasn't it, in all but name. So I think the FA Cup has taken on bigger significance for Manchester City. Pep Guardiola referenced that, actually, before the game against Chelsea, when he said, actually, the biggest game of our week is Newcastle away, and they managed to win that game comfortably. Arsenal got the short straw, didn't they, really? I mean, they've struggled in recent times against Manchester City, and it's difficult to see them sort of turning that form around from what we saw at the Etihad just the other night when it finished 3-0 to City. The other semi-final, much, much closer. Manchester United absolutely thrive when they're able to play on the counter-attack. They've already done it to Chelsea this season. We've seen them also against Manchester City be able to defend well and then hit on the break. By then, I will expect Pogba and Fernandes to be sort of working together in that starting 11. I think I'll go for them to beat Chelsea. I just think they're a bit more solid at the back.
Yeah, the only thing my wife gives out to me every year is that I love the FA Cup. I really, really love the FA Cup. I've never really fallen out of love with it. And I think these two semi-finals coming up are going to be great, great games. They're going to show exactly what the FA Cup is about and how they're going to go. But the only problem I have now is, fingers crossed, when it comes to an FA Cup final, that people are allowed in Wembley to watch it. Because without that, I think the FA Cup is really loses its appeal.
We've got that, haven't we, on Monday night with this League Two playoff final being played behind closed doors. So that could be like a bit of a curtain raiser, really, I suppose, to see how the FA Cup final could look. But I agree with you, hopefully let's get some fans in by then.
Mark, just looking across Europe, in Italy, Juve still in the driving seat, but quite some distance to go, could be between themselves and Lazio. In Germany, the season all wrapped up there, Timo Werner on his way to Chelsea, of course, 2 goals at the weekend, 28 in total for the season. He's going to be some signing for Chelsea. But Werder Bremen at the foot of the table, they're in a two-legged playoff to stay in the Bundesliga, a club with such a rich tradition in German football. Anxious times for them.
Well, yes, it is anxious times, but they'd actually be absolutely delighted to be in this position, because it looked for all the world that they were going to be relegated. Heading in to the weekend, they actually were in one of those two sort of bottom spots. They'd only won one home game all season. This is the team that's been in the Bundesliga the longest. It's an absolute giant of German football. It had fallen on hard times. They managed to sort of save themselves in remarkable circumstances. They needed Fortuna Düsseldorf to lose against Union Berlin, which they did, 3-0. Werder, I mean, I mentioned earlier, only won once at home all season. Won 6-1 against Cologne. They were 3-0 up inside half an hour. And as another bit of slice of luck, it looked like they were going to be playing their great rivals, Hamburg, in this relegation playoff. Hamburg absolutely crumbled on the final day, and it means they've got Heidenheim, a much smaller team, in the relegation playoff. So a good opportunity now for Werder to save themselves. And like I said, for most of this campaign, it's almost been assumed, really, that they're about to go down. But no, that they've given themselves a really strong lifeline, actually, now. And it's all thanks, really, to their great rivals, Hamburg, collapsing in a 5-1 defeat against Sandhausen. Just, I honestly can't understand where that result came from. It was a chaotic weekend in the Bundesliga and the second division. But Werder looked like they could be sort of saving themselves.
And in Spain, it's advantage Real after the weekend. 2 points clear now of Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Real Madrid beat Espanyol 1-0. If you haven't seen the assist from Karim Benzema for the Real Madrid goal, then make sure you check that out on social media. A sensational back heel that went through the legs of the defender. And they took advantage of yet another Barcelona slip-up. Barcelona have played 16 games in La Liga away from home this season. They've only won six, nowhere near good enough for a team that wants to win the league. They twice led against Celta Vigo, twice pulled back. Iago Aspas scored a late equaliser, and sort of chaotic scenes towards the end of that game where Lionel Messi was sort of refusing to take instructions from the bench and pretending he wasn't hearing them. That's kind of led to the last couple of days, sort of suggestions really that Quique Setién, the coach, has lost the dressing room already. Of course, he hasn't been there that long. But it's a chaotic time at the moment for Barcelona. Always going to be rough periods when you're not winning games at a club of that size. But anybody that survives at Barcelona needs Lionel Messi on side at the moment. Doesn't look like the coaches have got that.
All right, listen, Mark, we leave it there. Many thanks, as always, Mark Langdon of The Racing Post, joining us on the RTE Soccer Podcast. Conan and James, thanks very much for your company. Conan, apologies if it sounded like I was trying to retire you.
a lot of people have been trying to do that over the years, so I'm still hanging on.
All right, listen, well done. That's Conan Byrne off Glenavon. And James, we'll chat to you next week. Thank you.
Chat to you next week, Adrian. Bye-bye.